May the Lord help us to commence our worship with hymn number 927. Thou only sovereign of my heart, my refuge, my almighty friend, and can my soul from thee depart, on whom alone my hopes depend? Hymn number 927.
Thank you.
Our reading from God's holy word is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, and commencing to read at verse 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answering said, John the Baptist. But some say Elias. And others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. He said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straitly charged them, and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud that overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a-coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered every one at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, Let these sayings sink down into your ears. For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, the same shall be great. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to each one of us and help his servant to pray.
Most merciful and gracious God, how we do need thee now to draw near to us and to abide with us. It is toward evening, the day is far spent. Oh, we pray thou wilt come as thou didst to thy dear disciples on the Emmaus Road, and abide with us. May thy sweet and sacred presence be known and felt in each of our hearts. May we lose sight of the things of time and of this world, that our hearts and affections may be set on things above, and we be favoured like those in the mount we have read of, when they saw no man save Jesus only. O Lord, we come before thee just as we are. One said, Nothing in my hand I bring, as simply to thy cross I cling. A naked come to thee for dress, helpless come to thee for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. Oh, may that be the real longing of each of our hearts, Lord. We would come pleading the precious name of Jesus, a name that's just suited to every sinner's case. Oh, that we may have that sweet access at the throne of thy grace, and spread before thee, dear Lord, all our needs. And truly our need is great. We need thee to have mercy upon us. We know all we deserve is thy wrath, for thee to cut us off as cumbers of the ground because of all our sin and unbelief. But oh, we would come like the dear publican begging and pleading for mercy, and pleading to be washed in the precious blood of Jesus, and pleading to be cleansed from all sin. And oh, may we know a little in our souls of the sweet peace of Calvary, that sweet pardon of all our many, many sins. We pray, Lord, for that real heart confession, that real godly repentance thou dost give to thy dear people. We may be ever repenting sinners before thee. Oh, that thou wouldst sweetly assure us, thou didst suffer, bleed, and die for us. And we need thee, dear Lord, to confirm thy work in our hearts, that we are truly born of God. Thou hast quickened us into life. We are found in that living way, that narrow way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Oh, may we be among that favoured few. Pray, dear Lord, thou wilt confirm thy work in us, confirm thy sweet promises. Oh, that we may have those heavenly confirmations in our souls, that we are among thy dear children. With them numbered, one said, may I be, and may that be the fervent longing of our hearts, now and through eternity. Oh, we pray for those real tokens, Lord, that are given to thy people, those real assurances, those real promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Oh, to assure our conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, bear thy witness to my heart that I am born of God. May we never be left, dear Lord, to be deceived or to live on a form of religion, but oh, that we may know the blessed power and application of thy word, that it may be life and power to us, and who feed thy hungry poor with living bread, Lord. May those that are thirsty sinners, one said, thirsty sinners, come and draw. Oh, may there be many draw from the wells of salvation. For thou didst say, dear Lord, to the dear woman of Samaria, the water that I shall give thee shall be in thee a well of water, springing up unto eternal life. Who lift up any that are cast down, Lord, the many things to cast thy dear children down. Oh, we pray thou wilt grant that there may be those lifted up by thee. Oh, we would pray with the psalmist, lift thou me up and I shall praise thee. And bring my soul out of prison, and I shall praise thy holy name. Oh, do come and set at liberty any that are in bondage and feel bound and shut up. Do come and loose thy people and set them free. O Lord, who deliver us from the powers of Satan, thou knowest how active the adversary is, how powerful he is, and how real the temptations are and the suggestions he puts into the mind of thy dear children. Oh, do come and cast him out, and free thy dear people. For thou hast said, and if the Son shall make you free, then are ye free indeed. And oh, may many be brought into sweet liberty, Lord, the liberty of the gospel. Know that sweet freedom, and the blotting out of all the sin that troubles them. We pray that thou wilt help those who feel so helpless, Lord, thou knowest how helpless we are. We pray that many may prove thy help in him. Lord, do bless the dear children, the dear young people. We pray thou wilt watch over them and preserve them and keep them. May they be brought to know thee in early days, in their lives, whom to know is life eternal. And oh, may they be kept from this world and all its snares and attractions, Lord. And all the things that Satan would be and will be putting in the way to draw them away from thee and thy truth and thy people. But oh, we pray, thou wilt preserve their going out and coming in. May they each one be taught of thee in their early days. For thou hast said it is good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. We pray that many may be brought to bear it. And hear the prayers of dear parents for their offspring, who guide and direct the dear young people in all their pathways, Lord. May they see thy hand going before them, making a way where there seems no way. And may they prove the wonders God alone can do. Do raise up a seed to serve thee, a generation to call thee the Redeemer blessed. May there be those roots, Lord, to cleave to thee and to thy precious word and thy people. And oh, may there be those Lydias whose heart the Lord opened, she attending unto those things spoken by Paul. May there be those Samuels, Lord, to say, speak, and let thy voice be heard by them. And oh, may there be those Timothys, Lord, to learn the scriptures from their youth. Lord, the power's thine. And oh, do work mightily in those that are in trouble and distress and difficult things, Lord. Do sanctify all thy dealings to them. And may they be abundantly blessed in these trials and troubles and afflictions and losses and crosses, Lord. May they prove that thou dost all things well. And O Lord, who make thee bittersweet, and oh, that thou wouldst so make the crooked things straight and rough places plain. Remember those that carry offspring. We think of those with us and others, Lord. We thank thee for safe deliverance to dear Sarah, and do bless her, dear husband, and the babe, and the little one she has too. And oh, do grant safe deliverance to those that carry now. We pray thou wilt help them hourly, Lord, and daily strengthen them and bless them and give them that peace within that passeth all understanding. And oh, do grant safe deliverance at the appointed hour. And oh, may they prove the wonders thou alone canst do. Oh, we pray, dear Lord, for all that need thee in some special way. Do come and appear for thy people, for thou hast promised, but my God shall supply. all your need. Oh, that thou wouldst so grant it, Lord. Remember those in affliction's pathway. Think of our dear sister and brother in and the dear family in the great burden and trial they walk through. Oh, we pray thou wilt come. Abundantly bless them in it all and sanctify it, Lord. They may be able to say in all these things that thou dost all things well. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt especially prepare our dear sister and each of us, Lord. None of us know what a moment or an hour will bring forth. Many of us are in the evening time of life. Oh, to be made ready, Lord, waiting for thy coming, fully prepared. And oh, do come, Lord, and sweetly assure each one that it is well, while life endure, and well when called to die. Remember, we pray the dear deacons here and do help them, Lord, in all the burdens and responsibilities they hold. We pray that thou wilt bless abundantly the hymns are given out, and may there be that sweet flowing together between pulpit, desk and pew. And Lord, we pray for thee to add to the church precious souls, if it would please thee. May there be others constrained to tell the sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold, the way to God. O Lord, may Zion be revived and built up too, and thy servants graciously encouraged and helped to preach thy word. And oh, may it go forth with power. And may there be an awakening even in this village of many sinners round, to come and fill the place if it would please thee. And may it be so throughout this land and around our own flock too. Lord, thou hast said, I will work, and who shall let it? Oh, may thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Do appear in the nation, Lord, do turn us from our idols and sin, and open the blind eyes of our leaders and rulers. They may seek that wisdom from above in all the affairs of this nation. And may there be from our Queen downwards a real turning to the Lord and a forsaking of all evil. Remember all thy persecuted ones throughout the earth and those fleeing for their lives in Afghanistan. We beg of thee to make bare thine arm. Remember thy dear children, where'er they be, and that thou would appear and make thy goodness pass before them in the way. We would praise thee, dear Lord, for all thy great mercies to us. We would not let thy mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, nor without praises die. To help us to give thee all the glory and all the praise. Who help us now to fall into thy kind arms, sink or swim. Who anoint us, Lord, to speak a few things in thy holy name. And oh, may Christ be exalted, sinners laid in the dust. make up in giving where we so fail in asking. We ask it in that precious name that prevails above every name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 380. O Jesus, thou fountain of grace, enliven my heart, and show the sweet smiles of thy face, and from me bid evil depart. Pronounce, I am thine, a sinner once purchased by blood, and may I forever recline on the bosom of Jesus, my Lord. Hymn 380.
Thank you.
seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I'll direct you to the chapter we read together, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 9, and a clause that you'll find in verse 36. Luke chapter 9 and the clause in verse 36. Just five words, and they kept it close. And they kept it close. The whole verse reads, and when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. This was a very blessed and sacred time for these dear disciples, Peter and John and James. The Lord Jesus had led them into the Mount of Transfiguration, where he was to be transfigured before them. They were lifted above the veil of tears that so many were in the earth at that time, for a little season. And the Lord is pleased from time to time to lift his dear people, sometimes out of a path of sorrow and distress, a season of weeping and grief, lifted them above it all. And this is where the dear disciples were at this time. And they were to see things that were very blessed and sacred. I just want to name a few things in leading up to the text. Firstly, we read, and he, as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. These two men were firstly Moses, to represent God's holy law, which the dear Saviour was to fulfil in every jot and tittle, from beginning to end. And secondly, Elijah was there to represent the prophets, who had all foretold of his glorious coming. So it was a sacred occasion, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Notice what the conversation was about. It was all about him going to Calvary and to suffer, to bleed and to die, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Calvary. It was a blessed subject, wasn't it, for them to think on and to muse upon. May the Lord, from this hour, this evening, lead us a little, each of us, into what he sweetly accomplished at Calvary, bringing salvation down to poor, black, vile sinners, overcoming all their sin, putting it all away, shedding of his precious blood, and to he was to show to them those pierced hands and feet and side after the resurrection. The great cost of our salvation and Moses and Elias, his own heart's blood. You know, it's a sweet subject, really, a very humbling subject, isn't it, to meditate upon his sufferings and death at Calvary, his disease. Laying down, and think how willing the Saviour was to do it. He just laid down his precious life that sinners might live. Well, much could be said on each point, but I'll just hint at it. And then we read, but Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. It struck me quite forcibly when the Lord gave me this text this morning that on this occasion, in this mount where they were so lifted above everything of the things of time, and there they beheld the dear Saviour being fashioned, his countenance altered, and his raiment white and glistering, then they slept. And I thought of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Where were the disciples? He came back and he found them sleeping, didn't he? It proves to us this, and I know it's a deep and profound subject, but it proves to us this, that no flesh can glory in or stand in his presence. They were anointed disciples of the Lord, and yet when it came to the reality and sacredness and blessedness of him in the mount here, and too when in his agonies in the Garden of Gethsemane, where they slept. You see, their poor finite mind couldn't begin to grasp all what was taking place. It was too great for their poor nature. Oh, it was, so they slept. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Oh, may we be favoured if we're spared to venture on a little in the journey, to be brought into those places where we might behold his glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And how can we behold it? Only by living vital faith. Faith will embrace it. And then what does Peter say here? And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. You know, when those times where the Lord has blessed you, maybe in a path of affliction or a path of real trial, and the Lord has so appeared and revealed himself, And all you can say about it all, Lord, it is good for us to be here. We're so favoured with it. The presence of the dear Redeemer. The blessing of peace and pardon in the soul. It is good for us to be here. And when you're favoured to hear his voice, poor soul, or when he sanctifies the trial that you may be in or the trouble, whatever it may be, when was the last time you said that before the Lord? Lord, it's good for us to be here. It may be in the sanctuary when the Lord is pleased to come right where you are and bless you, maybe under the preaching of the word or in the reading of it or even maybe in one of the hymns. I often think of the old man who used to be in London. I remember him saying to me, he said, you know, there are times where I've gone up to the house of God and I may not got anything particularly of divine blessing in my soul, but he said, the sweet savour of Christ within the doors. He said, I could truly say it's good for us to be here. Christ within the midst, you see. And you won't forget those occasions. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. Well, it's a beautiful word really, isn't it? A cloud overshadowed them. And so often the child of God, as they walk through this pilgrimage journey, have clouds that overshadow them. And they fear in them. Think of what dear Mr. Cowper said in the hymn, ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds ye so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. And the dear man knew it by experience, didn't he? He'd walked out everything in that beautiful hymn. There came a cloud, and there may be those, and I just pause a moment to name it. Here this evening you've got a cloud that overshadows you. And there are those fears, aren't there, in that cloud, in your poor heart. But you know, they were not to be all the time in that cloud. Oh no, they got to walk through it. They got to experience it. There are many clouds we could name. Clouds of sin, clouds of opposition from Satan. Clouds of bitter temptation, clouds of trouble maybe in providence, clouds of trouble in the soul, which no man sees. And this cloud overshadows you. And then clouds of affliction, and we could name many other things. And thy fear, as they entered into the cloud. But poor soul, we have the sweet record here. They were not to be any, only for a little season. You may say, oh, but it's been a long time I've been under this cloud. It may be months, it may be years, it may be days. The Lord is a sovereign. But poor soul, they were to come out of it, weren't they? The cloud was to be lifted up. Now you look at clouds naturally. I notice as we came up the M11 this afternoon, there were those clouds, and I thought about it, you know. No man can control them. They're all in the Lord's hands. Even the natural clouds that float in the sky, they all come at his command and they go at his command, don't they? And so it is with the experience of God's dear people. But we cannot disperse them, and nor can you in what you may be in tonight. But what do we read? And there came a voice out of the cloud. You see, they had to come into that cloud to hear the voice of the Lord speaking. Oh, they did. And in that cloud, you see, they were to hear this. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Of course, it was God the Father speaking it concerning his beloved son, the dear Lord Jesus. This is my beloved son. You remember the last occasion when he spoke that, recorded in God's holy word, was at the baptism of the dear Saviour. You know, there's some wonderful seals took place at that baptism, wasn't there? Firstly, there was the precious Son of God, the dear Lord Jesus, going through those sacred waters, setting the blessed example to his dear people. And immediately there was the voice from the most excellent glory from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Sacred voice, wasn't it? Those that heard it never forgot it, you know. And these dear disciples were not to forget it. But then, of course, there was the third wonderful seal to it. The descending of the dove from heaven, the bodily form of a dove, the approval of heaven. You know, it's a wonderful thing to have God's approval in a matter. Well, you can look at that third chapter of Matthew, you'll see it beautifully. The whole Trinity were involved in that. And so we have it here. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Don't listen to any other. Listen to what the Saviour saith and seek for grace to follow that. Hear him. And it may be in the clouds, you may be in tonight. Oh, may the Lord speak as he did here. This is my beloved son. But then I would apply it in a different way. We know this, as I have said, was recorded concerning the dear Lord Jesus, the beloved Son of God. But you know, there are times in the cloud when he will speak such a word to his dear children. My son, my beloved son, he says here. And those of you who are seeking for divine blessings of heaven, may the Lord sweetly whisper that to you in the clouds you may be in. This is my beloved son, claiming you, you say. as he is. All his dear daughters claiming you as he is. We think of it, of dear Ruth. You see, Naomi said, my daughter, didn't she? Well, she was a daughter of the Lord. And so were so many others throughout God's holy word. You could name Hannah and Sarah and the dear godly women that were with the dear Lord Jesus, his daughters. Heirs of heaven, you see. And when the voice was passed, the verse of our text says, Jesus was found alone. We read in the other Gospels, don't we, in Mark, that beautiful word, they saw no man save Jesus only. And it's a beautiful place, poor soul, when you can see no man save Jesus only. A place you'll never forget, whether it's in the house of God. It's a wonderful thing, you know, when the Lord removes his servant, whoever may be preaching, and all you see is Jesus only. I don't mean with your natural eyes, I mean with the eye of faith. And in the clouds that you may be in, if you could have a glimpse tonight of Jesus only. What does the hymn writer say? Had I a glance of thee, my God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. Oh, that we may sweetly experience it more and more, but I want to come to the text. And they kept it close. They kept it close. And I want to look at it in a few ways as we may be helped, and may the Holy Spirit bring it back as the Lord seemed to open it up when he dropped the word in early this morning, thinking of coming here. Lord, what shall we preach from? We want to come with thy word. And immediately, it was just so the Lord stood by me and they kept it close. Have you got those things tonight that you are keeping close? They're between your soul and the Lord. They're locked up in your heart of blessings and you have to keep them close. They kept it close. All what they'd heard, all what they'd seen. We prove in this, and it came to me so powerfully, there's a time to speak and a time to keep silence. Oh, there is. You see, here it was a time they got to keep silent. There was no doubt they could have come down from that mountain and told all what had took place. They got something to tell, hadn't they? It may be there's one here got something to tell. But you've got to keep it close until the Lord commands you to speak it. And when he does, you'll be like a pen of a ready writer. It will just flow out, you see. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. I thought sometimes, you know, well, let me use an illustration. My late dear father's cousin, Joseph Field, that was pastor at Arkle Street, Sedgley. The first sermon that he preached was by invitation of his uncle down at Blackboys. The Lord laid it upon Uncle Jabez that Joe was to come and preach on this particular Lord's Day. And he wrote to him. And he said to him, if the Lord will, he didn't give him any option. If the Lord will, we will announce next Lord's Day that you will preach. Well, the dear man had got the great exercise in his heart, you see, regarding it. Anyway, what I was going to say was he went down there and much trepidation and preached. But before he went to the house of God. Lord, what shall I do? I've got this letter, I've got this invitation, and thou knowest the exercises in me, and I've not told a soul about it. It was just between him and the Lord. And the dear servant of God preached from this word. Go, son, and work in thy father's vineyard. He said, I knew what I got to do. I'd got to venture. And he went. And why I name it concerning this text and he kept it close was because of this. His brother-in-law took him, drove him all the way down to Sussex. And listened to that first sermon, those first two sermons he preached. And the Lord began his work in him. In that dear man, as he sat and listened to him preach those first two sermons, the Lord worked in him. And he didn't divulge it until 25 years later when he came before the church. And I should never forget dear Joe at Sedgley saying, he said, you know, I sat and listened to his testimony. He began with that first sermon I preached. And he kept it 25 years before I knew anything about it. Kept it close, you see. It was between the dear man and the Lord. Not for everybody until the time came then he must speak it. There is a time, you see. We read in Ecclesiastes, a time to speak and a time to keep silence. And when that time comes to speak, the Lord will make it clear. And he will touch the lips of his dear children, whether whatever it may be. And he kept it close. And I felt sometimes listening to the testimonies of some over the years, you know, the sermons I preached years ago. And now, one or two have come forward and they've declared what they've heard. And they kept it close between them and the Lord until that day when they've had to declare it. And there may be one exercise here concerning following the dear Redeemer. And you've kept things close between your heart and the Lord, maybe for a long season. Maybe years. The Lord's a sovereign. It may be a matter of months. And you kept it close. But you can't always keep it close. These dear disciples, you see, what do we read in Mark's account of it, where he declares so beautifully. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And you look at those dear disciples after the resurrection. They could declare it then on the housetops, couldn't they? what they sweetly experienced in that Mount of Transfiguration. But they had to keep it close until after the resurrection, till Christ was risen, triumphant from the grave. Now, poor soul, are those of you got things you're keeping close today? You know, there are various exercises which the Lord exercises his dear people with, that they have to keep it close. It's between the soul and the Lord. And he doesn't go any further. We think particularly concerning the exercise of the ministry. Because I couldn't tell a soul what was in my heart in my early days concerning that exercise. And it was between me and the Lord. And as I have said many times over the years, the three things that a man should have before he ever ventures into the ministry. And I stand by it. The first is there will be the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. The clear commission to that dear man from heaven that he must preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And it will be between him and the Lord. And he won't say a word to a soul. They keep it close. And there are times, you know, just diverting a little away from that, when you will have to keep it. Maybe the Lord will speak to you during the week. And he speaks a word to you. And you have to keep it close, because when you go up to the house of God on the Lord's day, you'll look for the answer to it. And you won't want to say anything unless it should mar it, the blessing. Because if you declare it, and the servant of God knows you've declared it, and he quotes it, the devil will come in and say, well, he knew all about it. You see, crafty is the foe and strong. And he will do all he can, you see, to mar it. This is why we should keep it close, you see, but only for a season. Don't go home tonight and say, oh, Mr. Field said we've got to keep it close for the rest of our life, because I didn't say that. The devil may suggest that. You keep it close until the Lord unfolds it. Now, going back to the ministry, you see it between the man, whoever it may be, and the Lord. You keep it close. And the Lord will give that divine seal upon that man, that is what he's got to do. And he'll go up to the house of God and look for confirmations in it, encouragements in it, seals in it that it's real, tokens of the Lord's love. But secondly, why you keep it close is because the second thing that a God-sent servant must have will be this. It'll be shown to the brethren. There'll be those that will be exercised about that man going forth into the ministry. He won't have to say anything. The Lord will show them. And they're often godly mothers in Israel. On one occasion when I was in deep trouble in my early days, with the exercise of the ministry in my heart, I remember going to the old chapel at Chatham, and a dear old lady, I'd known her for years, but I'd never told her a word what was in my heart. She came out the chapel, she said, "My boy, you're exercise about the ministry, aren't you? And in God's time, he will send you, and you won't have to touch it." You know, I, in some ways, my old nature said, I was really staggered by the power when she said it. The Lord had shown it to her. It'll be shown to the brethren, to the sisters in the church of God. And thirdly, and this is all important in it, the Lord will open the door. He'll make the way. Oh, he will. There's a beautiful word, and I thought much about it of late, and I've tried to preach from it on different occasions, what the Lord spoke to the church in Philadelphia. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man shall shut it." And when the Lord sets before us an open door, no man shall shut it. And I remember praying, "Lord, if this is real, this exercise, and thou hast shown it to the brethren," there were several mentioned it to me, and I just kept it close. I didn't give an answer. He will open the door. When I received the invitation to go to East Peckham to preach that first time, the first service was on the 13th of February in 1966. It was a wonderful answer to prayer. The Lord had opened the door, you see. And having obtained help of God, I've continued unto this day. But there have been times when we had to keep it close. Now, I don't know why the Lord sent me here with this word this evening. Some may say, well, it's a strange text, but it's the Lord's word. They kept it close. And poor soul, and even the exercise of following the Lord in the sacred ordinance of baptism, you know, you'll keep it close. And when the Lord fills you with his love and makes the way and opens the door, you can venture then, can't you? Tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. Wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveals his love with power. And when he does, poor soul, you're about to run. And that's a wonderful place to be in, you know. No longer keeping it close. Declaring it like they did. Think of the dear disciples, and then I must leave it for the time, but think of the dear disciples after the resurrection. They got something to tell, hadn't they? They could well publish it abroad. Christ is risen. The Lord had so blessed them, so favoured them, set them at liberty. He had conquered Satan, conquered all their sin, putting it all away. A risen Saviour. Life within them. Eternal life. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Now, just in conclusion this, what a mercy if we got something to tell, isn't it? Oh, it is. You think of Abraham's servant, and we could name many others. Excuse me. When he got to the house of Laban and Bethuel, he got something to tell them, and how the Lord had heard and answered his prayer. Rebecca had come forth. The dear man went with a great exercise, you know, to seek a wife for Isaac. And you look how Laban and Bethuel answered him when he got to the house. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Oh, poor soul, may the Lord whisper that to you tonight. Then you'll be able to tell what you've kept close, maybe for many years. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Hart will preach next Lord's Day, Mr. Timothy Pocock at our special services on Monday. Our closing hymn is 686. Jesus, cast a look on me. Give me sweet simplicity. Make me poor and keep me low, seeking only thee to know. Hymn 686.
Thank you.
Dear Lord, do forgive now anything thy pure eyes have seen amiss. Do bless thy own precious word. Grant us that grace to be obedient to it in all things. Take us each now into thy kind care and keeping. May the grace of the dear Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with us each now, forevermore. Amen.